not to be shy about it. We need to be vociferous about it and to thank God for what he has done to offer us eternal life through Christ Jesus. You see, a God that we serve, he's alive. All the other gods are dead. Buddha and Confucius and Muhammad, you can visit their places, their graves, their sepulchres. They're there. Their bones are in the ground. And Jesus, it's empty. Someone said one time, I'll show you how much of a defiant atheist I am. I'm going to go dance on the grave of Jesus. I said, well, you won't be dancing on him because he ain't there. So amen. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. He has risen. Yeah, yeah. And today throughout the whole of the world, we're celebrating the risen resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what a day to have a resurrection. And Linda, we got the message, honey. Her mother just passed away today, this morning. And so what a day for a mother to go home to be with the Lord. Amen. Then on Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Forever we'll be able to remember that. That's for sure the day. Mm-hmm. And I know she did, honey. We were praying right here before she passed away. And I know you had a last word with her on the phone there. That's okay to go, Mom. And I was right there at that door. And I just saw like life was waning. And like a blood vessel was collapsing, but there was another vessel inside that vessel. Mm-hmm. And it would not collapse. And that was the life of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I thank God that she was his child and she's with the Lord now. We really miss him. I loved your mom. And you see, Linda, you kind of see your mom, in a lot of ways. But they were really close. And I thank God for the opportunities that you have had to be able recently to visit with your mom and to, just give you a lot of assurance about her position in the Lord and all, and her to be able to say some things and you to be able to say some things, and especially right up to the last moment, be able to say something to her. Words cannot express what somebody else may be feeling, so we're not going to go there. And we've all experienced that in different ways, unique to us. But may God bless you and comfort you, Linda, richly during this time. But thank God that we have a message today about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people share about that in a lot of different ways. A lot of people will walk you through the Garden of Gethsemane and all that he went through there, and the agony and the temptation of the devil and the whole world on him. A lot of people will walk you through the torture and the torment, the brutality of the crucifixion. A lot of people will, walk you through what they think that he may have been thinking. And but one thing that we can do for sure, and that is share scripture with you about aspects of, to me, was on my heart today, was the resurrected and the resurrection power that we have available to us today because of what Jesus has done. What does it mean to us? And Paul wanted to know that. We'll share some scriptures about that. But first of all, I want to share with you just some things here that Oswald had to comment on about this, what this powerful, powerful manifestation, miraculous power of what God has accomplished here at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And I want to share just some things out of Oswald, and then we're going to share some scriptures, some questions that pursuits that Paul had about what this means. You've ever thought about that? Everybody talks about it. You've probably heard from the time you were born or could possibly be educated in the scriptures or Sunday school. We've heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but a good question is to ask is, how does this relate to me in my daily walk? And that's what we want to share today with you as we continue here. And as I ask you some questions, I want you to think about some of these things that are said and proclaimed. Listen to this, and I'm not sharing all of Oswald, I'm sharing portions of this. Have I entered into the glorious privilege of being crucified with Christ until all that is left in the life of Christ in my flesh and blood. Have I entered into the glorious privilege of being crucified with Christ until all that is left is the life of Christ in my flesh and blood? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Wow, I mean, it's so easy to say this, isn't it? Have I entered into the glorious privilege of being crucified with Christ until all that is left in the life of Christ in my flesh? I want to make sure I clearly state this, because there's a word here that's I'm jumping over. Have I entered into the glorious privilege of being crucified with Christ until all that is left is the life of Christ in my flesh and blood? Are you experiencing this daily about the old man still wanting to live?
Yeah, he does.
Yesterday, Shirley asked me if I'd like to go on a walk with her around Forest Hills that we typically and normally and really enjoy doing. But yesterday, I felt a little pressure on me for a lot of things that I've got to do, a lot of things on my plate. And I said, well, I don't think I'm going to go today and on the walk that we so enjoy. Mm-hmm. Actually, we walk and we talk and we get a lot accomplished. And I said, well, I don't think I'm going to go today. And she kind of, you know, asked me, oh, you know, it's a beautiful day, you know. And I said, yeah, I know, but I just don't have enough time. But I said to her, finally, you know what? I am going to do this regardless of what I want to do. I wrote down on Wednesday when we've been studying Hearing the Voice of God. I wrote down on my journal entry that we made right there that I will do whatever I can that would benefit my wife and my children. It's more Shirley and I these days, but we still see our adult children. I will do whatever I can and not think so much about me, but think more about her. Mm-hmm. What would be good for her? Mm-hmm. So I remembered that, Mary. And I read that to everybody here Wednesday. And people said similar things about being selflessness. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to go. And I didn't want to go begrudgingly. I didn't want to go, I'll go, you know, I'll go on a walk with you, but I don't have time, but I'll go. I'm really crucified here. I'm really going to lay it down. And I know what the crucifixion means. I'm not feeling this, but I'm going to go. You know, it wasn't really that way. But I'm just saying to you, it could have been that way if that's the way I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. It really could have been that way. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine going on a walk with your wife? You say you're going to lay your life down for her. You're going to be crucified to the flesh and do something that would please her rather than just you and all your agenda and all your importance. You know, can you imagine walking with her and her kind of a few feet up and you're kind of back here like this and, huh, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I... The life which I
now.
You talk about surely having a talk with the Lord in the garden. The life which I, and I can hear the Lord saying right here beside me saying, now, like now on this walk today, you know, right now, you know, do what you profess, or it might be hard, but do it. It wasn't that hard for me, really. I mean, I didn't start out that way. We went on a good walk. I'm saying I could have gone that way. See, a lot of times we can preach about being crucified to the flesh, but don't relate it. And I want to relate it to our daily life. I'm just sharing, so I'm bearing my heart to you. I'm just telling you, I didn't go south with this, but I could have. And in the past, I have at times. I don't know about you. Maybe you're pretty good almost all the time. But sometimes you really want to walk away from this crucifixion process. The problem with a living sacrifice, and we've said this before, is they have a tendency, Debbie, they want to crawl off the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's do this another time. Maybe another time's better. Maybe another time, but not today. It always has to be today.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. What happens if you have a hardened heart?
Yeah.
What happens if you have a hardened heart?
You turn to
stone.
Huh? You turn to stone.
Well, what the tendency is to enforce that hardened heart so nothing gets in. And so, like Mary said, it'll turn to stone. Mm-hmm. It's not soft and pliable, amiable, able to even hear God's voice. I don't know about you. I want to make something very real here. How many of you, in obedience to the Lord, I hope you would, but the Lord shared with Shirley Sunday morning, and she said to me, honey, would it be okay? I said, sure. The Lord's showing you something? To set up a Garden of Gethsemane, to sit there and see what he will speak to me. Mm. Without any prearranged notes as to what he might say. Mm. In front of brothers and sisters, not knowing who's going to be here, not knowing the chemistry of the needs of the people, and be willing, she told me yesterday, all I know is to do this, and isn't it gorgeous what she did? Mm-hmm. It took a lot of work to do this. Mm-hmm. She got home at 10:30 last night, went to bed at 1 something, came down here early in the afternoon, and was doing all this setup for me, and I told her I wanted a banner up. She says, well, I know what we can do for a banner, rather than you making one out with paper, you know, and all this, which I don't mind doing, because I'm a great artist, you know. I don't mind. I like banners, man. I'll string that thing up there, and I'll write something on it. It might be chicken scratches, but it's going to be a message. So you might see something like that. But she said, you know, I can for this Sunday. I can get you a banner, and I can put it on the on the screen up here off the projector.
Good
and
job.
She did that, and then she did this, and then she did that, and she did this. And so, and here she comes, willing to sit in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus and say what he would give her. Now, is that nuts? Or is that being crucified to the flesh, not really caring what you think?
There you go.
Not really caring what you think or what they're going to think or what your reaction is, but if she looks to the Lord, God is not going to put garbage in and garbage out. Now, I want to ask you, I want to make this really real today, what we're talking about. Jesus was crucified. We're to be crucified with him. He died to the flesh. Mm-hmm. He was God in the flesh, but he still had to die to the flesh. He learned obedience from a thing which he suffered. Mm-hmm. Okay? Even as a child. Okay, Mom. Okay, Dad. He was in heaven to begin with, before all that happened. But he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. So, under our noses, right in front of us, here's a lesson of a soul being crucified, willing to lay it out there without being embarrassed, without having any intention of offending, but just hearing the voice of God and speaking what he may say. I don't know about you, but as her husband, I'm really blessed by this example because that's what we're talking about. Because he rose, we can rise today in our daily walk, hearing the Lord and not hearing the voice of the world, our adversary, and obeying the Lord. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. And that is an example of being crucified to the flesh. My little example of going on a walk is an example, but it should happen all day long. All day long, just interactive relationship with Jesus Christ all day long as to what he is defining to us what dying to the flesh is. I'm impressed. In the spirit, not in the flesh, and I'm not wanting to award her anything or put a crown on her head, but we all, in obedience to the Lord, are going to be blessed as we obey him.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. I thank God she's my wife. I thank God that she's not ashamed to look to the Lord.
Yeah.
There's nothing really weird about it or at all. It's just an act of faith.
There you go.
And you, what did Shirley do, though, with the thoughts that she had of doing this? What did she do with it? She was giving something. What did she do with it? With these thoughts. I have an idea. What did she do? She shared it with you, but what does she do with instructions from the Lord? What does she do with those instructions?
Obey.
She obeyed. She followed through. Very simple. Now, if everybody in here had an idea of doing something this morning, I think it would be a little frizzled. It wouldn't be in harmony. You see, we can't have everybody doing everything, even though you might want to glorify the Lord. There has to be what? There has to be order. And so this morning, this was an order of what she did. It didn't interfere with me. And I didn't know what I was going to say about it because I didn't know what she's going to say about what she was saying, about what God was saying to you and me today. So I didn't know what I was going to say. But I'm blessed because it goes right along in hand with the lesson that we're talking about. Being crucified to the flesh is a great example. Do you see that? Or am I just... am I alone in this perception of what I'm... How many of you would see yourself sitting up here just speaking what God would give to you and just willing to sit there? And you know what she said? She said also, if he doesn't give me anything, then he won't give me anything. Mm. That takes it a step further.
Amen. Good.
She was not entertaining you.
Mm. Yeah.
You know that, right? Wow. So that's what the stirring is all about right here. It's a situation where, have I entered into the glorious privilege of being crucified, privilege with Christ, until all that is left is the life of Christ in me? How many of you want to get there? At least it's a goal. Huh? It's not a work. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't climb some heavenly ladder, Jacob's ladder, to get to heaven because of works, one step at a time. I'll get there. I'll work it out, you know. You can't do it that way. It is by faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It's not a working thing. All the other religions of the world, it's a working situation. Not Christianity. You're saved by grace through faith. Saved by faith through grace. It works both ways. Wow. The proof that I have been through crucifixion with Jesus is that I have a decided likeness to him. Do you have a decided likeness to Jesus today? Do you have a DNA that is a decided likeness to Jesus Christ? Are you a product of him? If I'm his child, I should have the DNA of Jesus. I often say it another way. I often say, I bleed Jesus. Or I'm supposed to bleed Jesus. I'm to cry Jesus. I'm to be angry and not sin in Jesus. I'm to have my emotions in Jesus. I'm to just weep before him, with him in mind. How many of you feel there's a change taking place in your life, that this is serious, that this is not just a little journey you're on for a while, and then after a while you're going to change your mind?
Yeah.
You're not going to do this anymore. I just learned today something that I did not know just recently. Shirley told me that Thomas Kincaid died. I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but the Christian painter, painter of light, 54-year-old, he just passed away. Well, close to the Resurrection Sunday also. Praise the Lord for him. But I know he loved the Lord, and he was a painter of light. He walked it for a while. He did what the Lord showed him to do. We have his paintings in our house, a couple of them. And we enjoy them richly. And his messages also that he has, like a devotional message of giving enlightenment in the ways of the Lord. But that was for a season that he was a painter. He's no longer a painter on this earth. I don't know what he's going to do in heaven. Maybe he has something to do with painting or, you know, doing some glorious things in the decoration of the house that God's building him. I don't know. Do you have a decided likeness to Jesus Christ more and more every day? That's what the crucifixion is all about. He rose. He made it possible for us. How did he make it possible for us to do the impossible things and the things that are very difficult in this life? How did this risen Savior make it possible for us to do this? For Linda to go through the time that she's going through right now. Or what she might say to her family if you travel up north. How did he make this possible for us to live this? What did he give us that was from the Father that he said he was going to give us? If I do not go, I will not receive what? A Holy Spirit, which my Father will give me to give to my children, my sheep, my church. And now, not only externally is God guiding us and lead us in many times, in many ways, like he did in the Old Testament. God, after he spoke to the fathers in many portions, in many ways, has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And so Hebrews says, and so today Jesus, we understand, has received the gift of the Father to give to us, the Holy Spirit. Him inside of us today, not outside, not externally. So inside me on a walk with my wife is the Holy Spirit saying, Mark, you can do this. I know you're busy, but you can do this. Just calm down. You know, just calm down a little bit. You got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things on the burner, but you can do this. And in my heart, I said, yeah, I know I can. Sometimes a flesh would just like to have a last word in there and say, you know, but I can't. But the Lord says, you can. That you say, yeah, but I can't. But the Lord says, why don't you try? Why don't you try? Debbie, you don't know the outcome of everything that's going on here. But you have to try to throw yourself before the altar of God to allow him to fill you, to enable you to do and go through what you got to go through. But that's not yet. That's not here right now. That's in the future. But today, make today your future.
Yeah.
Live in hope today. Why be crucified tomorrow and you be crucified today? How many of you ever put off going to an appointment, especially a doctor or a dentist, as long as you could? It ain't going to help. Five most dangerous words on my chiropractic office. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll go away. Keep saying that. You put a date on the calendar, he says, no problem. I'll put a date on the calendar for the root canal or whatever I got to do or some surgery. I'll put it on the calendar, but I'll also change it. Ha, ha, ha. How about that?
Make an appointment and it will go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it'll go away. No, we got to fight. We got to face our crucifixion every day because he made it possible. Some of you have gone through things. We have prayed about those things. And then you'll come back and say, you know what? We had prayer. I did do what the Lord showed me to do. I went through that. I went through that crucifixion process, and I actually can see where God was with me the whole time, even though I was intimidated, but I did it. And how many of you have testimonies that way where you know God was with you, although you were intimidated in the time, of course? Wow. Mm-mm-mm. The incoming of the Spirit of Jesus into me readjusts my personal life to God, period. I want some interaction here. That's what I'm fishing. But I want you to understand what God is saying. When he says, the incoming of the Spirit of Jesus into me readjusts my personal life to God. It is no longer your personal life. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, it's about me in you. It's about me in you doing what I want you to do, no longer doing what you want to do. If you really understand this, not an Easter message about bunnies and things, but I'm talking about really understanding what this is all about, then you will understand you're going to have to apply this to yourself. Christ in me is the hope of glory. I want him formed in me, fashioned in me, shaped in me, that I may be able to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ wherever I am. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker, whatever you do, physician or lawyer, whatever you do, or bus driver, wherever you go, there you are. May Christ be formed in you like a mold, just formed and fashioned in you. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. It is a process. And my question to you today is the process happening? Is it going down? Is it in motion? And by what somebody wrote today in our prayer time in the back, it's going down. People are articulating and verbalizing some things in their heart that the Lord is showing them. And this person wrote that down, and this person spoke what the Lord showed them. How many of you know it's possible to be imprisoned this side of crucifixion? Mm-hmm. How many of you know it's possible to be imprisoned this side of crucifixion? Someone used to say, dead man, you can poke him all you want. You can poke him, you can prick him, you can do what you want. He won't move because he's dead. The body's dead. Mm-hmm. And so it is with us. Somebody come up and prick us and poke us. Ooh, whoa! I'll show you how dead I am. I'm a Christian, but hold on just a minute. I'll get back to Christianity in just a moment, but just let me take care of you first, and then we'll get back to Christianity, applied Christianity. I'm not going to apply it right now. Right now, I'm going to apply something else. I'll apply a little pressure to your nose or whatever. How many of you feel that way sometimes? How many of you still feel that way sometimes? Inside, it's boiling, but on the outside, you're kind of holding it back. But you can tell by the expression on your face, or your mate can, for sure. They're the closest one to you. Or someone that knows you, you can tell there's something inside that's not right. What did Paul say? I heard it said earlier. I don't know, Shirley, somebody said it. I die daily. Anybody care to amplify that a little bit? I die daily. What does it mean to you?
When you're thinking about someone you love, or when you're grieving about someone you love?
No, I'm talking about me, die daily. My flesh. I die daily. Can you relate to that? And keep on dying? Well, maybe Monday and Tuesday. What about Wednesday? And keep on dying. What about Thursday? And keep on dying. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times they do, whatever they're doing to you, that gets to you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they know how to get to you.
Mm-hmm. 1 second.
Jesus has embraced you. Jesus has done everything he can do to embrace you, to hold you, to keep you to him. He has done everything he can do. He will lead you through the process of dying to self. He will lead you through the process, and it is a process. How many of you know that you're not the same person you were a year ago, because you know, or 6 months ago, or even a month ago? Shirley, I better use you for an example. If you would come up here, please. I want to use you for a demonstration. Now, you just stand there like a... like a wet noodle. Okay?
How do I stand like a wet noodle?
Jesus has embraced us.
Yeah, you better use Shirley.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
I like it.
Jesus has embraced us. Paul said, I want to comprehend him. In other words, I want to lay hold of him the way he has laid hold of me. Now, what kind of relationship would that be if Paul was just, duh, doesn't matter, come on, Paul, come on, let's go over here, Paul, come on. There's no return. There's no appreciation. You laid it down for me, you rose for me, and here I am. This is how the church, here's how I see the church. I was going to say a daggone wet noodle, so I'm just going to say a wet noodle, pathetic sight. Here's the church.
That's right.
Jesus loved it, but the church is...
Mm-hmm.
They just intimidated by so many things to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what a relationship even between man and wife if you got a wet noodle. What if you got two wet noodles?
Sad. Very sad.
Just go for a walk, honey. Praise the Lord. But you embrace him who embraced you. And you better go after him with all your heart, because this is the only life you're going to have to do
it. That's right.
Just show him how to do it.
That's
That's how, you know, you embrace the Lord as he embraced you. He can't embrace us anymore. And by the way, I want to say this. There will be, everybody is going to be resurrected.
Yes, amen.
Follow me. There will be a resurrection of every soul that has ever lived on this earth.
That's right.
One, there's going to be a resurrection of the unrighteous into eternal judgment. Somehow God's going to bring them forth. He said, well, I'm not going to heaven. How are you going to resurrect me? What are you talking about? I resurrect what I want to resurrect. You're a human being. You chose not to follow me. You're going to be resurrected to eternal punishment. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tare, the liar from the truth teller. And he's going to resurrect those in him, his sheep, to eternal life. So today we do have a spiritual resurrection. That's what we're talking about today, living this life, spiritually resurrected. But there will be a resurrection of the body that he has for us, a heavenly body. No longer these. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But there will be a heavenly body as there's been an earthly body. And it'll be me. You say, how can that be? I said, don't worry about it. God can take care of how he wants us to be, our new bodies, a new heavens, new earth. See, that's all God's business. But it's real. It's there.
Yes, it is.
There will be a resurrection of every soul. And by the way, also, every knee shall bow.
Yes.
Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
So here's a tongue confessing that Jesus is Lord and that he risen. He did all the things in God's plan, and yet they're on their way to hell. They're still going to confess it. See, even the demons believe. I shared scriptures with you about that.
That's right.
Have you come to torment us before the times? Demons speaking to Jesus. He would either tell them to shut up or cast them out or whatever. But the demon world was speaking to Jesus. And they have no hope of salvation. We know that.
That's right.
But they were even given a free will. Wow. Has your life, has your attitude been altered due to being crucified with Jesus Christ? And has it becoming much more of a pleasantry to you to know that you are changing? I'm not the same person I was.
No.
There's some changes taking place. Wow. The resurrection of Jesus has given him authority to impart the life of God to me. And my experimental life must be constructed on the basis of his life. It's no good to learn by rote scriptures anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, to know all things about God, know historically, and be a professional historian and religious historian about the things of God if you're not experiencing the life of Jesus Christ. It does no good to know about it and not live it. God, dear Lord, show me what's embracing. What's embracing? If you really want to know, you better hold on. Because he's going to embrace you to show you what it's like. See, this, you know, you mean it, but you're just kind of sad with the world and you're tired of all this and you're tired of that and tired of this. And you're standing, God, what's embracing all about? If you really mean that, you will hear God's voice. You will get a manifestation from God. He'll show you what embracing really is. I'm just giving you a physical demonstration. But he will embrace you. Even though you're going to go through some times and you may be hard lumps and bumps, God will embrace you. He will not let you fall. How many of you know that? How many of you know that's hope? We're going into surgery. You're going to face something you never faced before. You just, I don't know where this is going to go, Lord, but I know, I don't care though you slay me, yet I will praise you.
That's right.
How many of you know that in your heart?
Yes.
That's what the resurrection is all about for us. That's what we're crucified with him and resurrected with him is all about. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
A little bit, or more than I did, or a lot. That's okay. We're all in different stages of growth, aren't we?
Yeah.
Adlin is not the same age as Tiana. I was going to say Tiasha. Adlin is younger than you, sweetheart. You're older. You're more accountable. So we don't expect the same things out of one as we do another. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, lucky day. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. In truth, it's powerful. Christ liveth in me. And it's no longer me, but Jesus Christ in me. Now, what if you should mess up and somebody see you mess up and all of a sudden all your testimony of all your walk and glorious walk and testimony of Jesus Christ is gone? They're not your judge. You will fall. Alan got scabs on her knees the other day. Little innocent, little almost three-year-old coming down a slide somehow got little scrapes on her knees, little band-aids on her knees, and she's walking like that a little bit, you know, at first. It just cracked me up. You're going to get scraped, but you don't have to get scrapped.
Amen. Thank you.
You understand? Don't beat yourself up, Debbie. Don't do that. Junebug, don't you beat yourself up over the past.
Yeah.
You love the Lord. You're on your way to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Let the past be the past. Get on down the road with Jesus. You're going to get scraped. You don't have to get scrapped.
There you go.
He's not in the scrap metal business. He is in the separation business. He really is. We're going to separate the sheep from the goats. Everybody's going to have a resurrection. Wow. I can have the resurrection of life of Jesus blank, and I will show itself, and it will show itself in holiness. I can have the resurrected life of Jesus when?
Now.
Well, that's a powerful word. And it will show itself in holiness. Someone said to us in the back also while we were praying, so-and-so had evidently given their life to the Lord, but there's no fruit of it. Mm-hmm. So-and-so at one time gave their life to the Lord, but there's no fruit of it. Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. Oh, Master, Master, let us dung it, let us fertilize it, and then come back next year and let's see what's happening. He said, okay. On one occasion he said, okay. Another occasion he cursed it immediately and it dried up. Let's see if it'll bear fruit one more year. And the Lord wants us to be very fruit bearing.
Yes, amen.
He wants us to get on and make up our mind and make up our hearts to be crucified with him, to have a resurrected life, and to really influence this world the way it needs to be, because we have a morality problem.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Linda's
working on that book now. I got that chapter yesterday. I'll give you some feedback. I love you, buddy. The idea all through the Apostle Paul's writings is that after the moral decision to be identified with Jesus in his death has been made, after that decision has been made, the resurrection life of Jesus invades every bit of my human nature. I love that terminology of invasion. After you make that decision, say, Lord, I really messed up. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life and save me. Make a new person out of me. You're going to have an invasion of the Spirit of God in your life. And all of a sudden, what you thought was okay to do before, all of a sudden God's going to be checking you and say, you know, I know you used to be very okay with this and that, but I want to show you something. I want to show you the more perfect way. And he will. But it's his business, not mine, to show you what you need to do. It wasn't me setting up here today. Shirley had a stirring. And I'm not going to put a blanket over something that the God can do to edify and bless us all. There's no harm, there's no interference with me. But you talk about, understand what I'm getting ready to say here. You talk about a bold step. It was. It's bold. It was faithful. It was obedient. It was edifying. Anybody else have any other words? It was
good.
It was good. It was what?
Courageous.
It was brave. It was what? What else?
Courageous.
Courageous. It was what?
Enlightening.
Enlightening. It was what?
Gratifying.
Hmm?
Gratifying.
Gratifying. And here's the ticket. Here's the trick. See, a lot of people will do something like this and they'll say, well, gee, we did that last week. Let's do it again. Let's do it next Easter. God's already down the road, 1,000 miles, way ahead of you. What we did in the past, see, you start a ritual out of something. We got to have our Garden of Gethsemane this year, and Shirley's going to sit and listen to see what the Lord says. That's where we go wrong. But in the moment, Kathy, we look to the Lord, see what He would have.
There you go.
And we are obedient to Him. Wow.
Mark, mm-hmm. Could I just share something about that? That it was a couple of days ago, I forget when, that the Lord showed me that. So I began thinking, well, then I need to have some questions to ask Him when I'm up there. And I said, well, Lord, don't I need some questions? I should, you know, jot down a couple of questions in case I kind of get stumped and I can look over at my notes. Oh, there's a question. I can ask you that. And so as the days went by, I would talk to Him and I asked Him some questions, some things I was curious about. You know, about what happened in the garden that last night and whatever. And then He would answer me. He told me. And then it was like He just chuckled. He says, don't even think you're going to. He says, you can't take that and use that on Sunday. We've already talked about it. What He has is fresh and new. Mm-hmm. So the things that, I mean, the questions I brought to Him and that He answered along the way, that was for then. But He still left me like blank till I got up there. Because He is fresh and everything is fresh and brand new. It's not stale. It's not something rehearsed. Mm-hmm. It's fresh in the moment.
That's good.
Very, 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 very powerful. Very encouraging. Very edifying. An example for us to look to the Lord ourselves. We're going to be closing here in just a couple minutes. The Holy Spirit cannot be located as a guest in a house. He invades everything. The Holy Spirit cannot be in a house as a guest. He invades everything. He wants the vacuum closet. He wants the linen closet. He wants the closet within a closet. He wants the closet within a closet within a closet. He wants access to everything, not just the, you know, it's okay, it's cool, here's a living room, that's cool, but we got a lot of little nooks and crannies where we have things that is all to ourselves. And He wants to invade all of those areas. And in closing, in Philippians 3, this is in your handout today. Philippians 3. There's much more to this, perhaps some other time. We've been talking about identifying with the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how does it relate to our daily life. In Philippians 3, 10 and 11, Paul says, this is what he wants, that I may know Him. You could say that and say no more. Mm-hmm. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. In order, verse 11, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amplified Bible. How many of you have an Amplified Bible? We're going to read this and we're going to close with this scripture, the same scripture read in the Amplified Bible. How many of you had Amplified Bible?
it amplifies what we just read. Let's look at the amplification. We're going to close. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. For my determined purpose is this, that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Wow, that's amplification. Pretty powerful, huh? I know that's much for anyone to try to write if you wanted an amplified version of that. But how powerful that is in saying, in an amplified way, what we just read in Philippians 3, 10, 11 in the New American Standard Bible. Pretty serious, huh? Pretty serious day to reflect upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means. So I asked the question, what is the relevance? What does it mean for me today? How can I go out and apply it? How can I live this? How can I be determined to live this? What's going on, Lord? What are you doing with me? Where are we going to go? I want to know. Paul says, I want to know. But I'm on my way to the kingdom of God. I'm on my way. I know that. But I want to know about this resurrection and this death of Jesus Christ. I want to apply it to my daily life. So in my life, I give you examples at times, some of the things I'm going through where it requires me to die. How about you? Still going to die a little bit? That's what it's all about. Death in me. Death to me means life, more life in Jesus Christ. As we walk, as we journey, that's the way it is. You can't get away from that. Praise the Lord. If there's anyone out here listening to our message today about trying to grope for a way to identify the resurrection of Jesus Christ to our daily life, what that means, and the crucifixion process, what that means in our daily life, if there's anyone out there that's listening to this message today, I pray that you will get on board with Jesus Christ, accept him into your life, and begin in a journey where he will invade every part of your life and lead you to the eternal kingdom. But it's only going to be through Jesus Christ and his shed blood that you will get there, because there will be a resurrection of every soul, a resurrection of life, a resurrection to death, eternally. Consider the importance of this, and consider eternity. There is no end. There won't be another Jesus. There won't be another crucifixion. There won't be another opportunity. It's all now. For whomsoever may be listening, if you're a Christian, then so be it. Be encouraged, be edified. If you're not, then turn your heart toward Jesus. He has a plan for you. He has a life for you. He has eternity for you. And remember, if you get scratched in your efforts to try to do this God's way, he's not out to scrap you. Well, Father, we ask this to fall on ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you all today, and it's on my heart to share with you about the relevance of this resurrection and this death of Jesus Christ, this crucifixion. Make it real to you in your daily life. Apply it in your daily life, and you'll see a difference. You begin to hear the voice of God more clearly for yourself. Praise the Lord.